So before we come to God's word, let's come to the Lord in prayer. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the great truths in that hymn that we have sung. Oh Lord, what a great Saviour you are. The goodness that you give us day by day is so undeserved. Lord, we thank you that you took pity on us, poor sinners. And Lord, despite all of the trials we face, Lord, all of the times that we struggle, Lord, you are with us and you love us. And we pray that as we come to meditate upon your word, Lord, that we would not just be hearing the words of men, but Lord, that we would be hearing your voice speaking to us. Lord, we pray that as a result of looking at this passage, you would help us to understand something more of your greatness. Lord, that you would stir up in us a greater desire to serve you with our lives. And Lord, that you would make us to love you more. And so we ask that you would be very present with us this evening as we look at this passage of your word. And so we thank you for bringing us safely here together this evening. And so we commit this time to you for your own name's sake. Amen.
Amen.
So turning your Bibles, please, to Matthew chapter 25, starting to read from verse 14. So that's Matthew chapter 25, starting to read from verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man travelling to a far country, who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them, and made another 5 talents. And likewise, he who had received 2 gained 2 more. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and bought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5. Look, I have gained 5 more beside them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. He also said to he who had received 2 talents, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents beside them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you had not sown, and gathering where you had not scattered seed. And I was afraid, and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant, you know that I reap where I have not sown, and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own back with interest. So take the talent from him, and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So when I spoke to you last, when we talked about David and Goliath, that was a message that I'd first thought of bringing to you after preaching that message in Sunday school. And today we have a similar situation. When I taught this lesson in Sunday school, I thought of the applications that we could have, even though we are adults. This is one of the many parables the Lord Jesus told, heavenly stories with earthly meanings. This parable was told exclusively to the disciples and is one of several told on the Mount of Olives. The consistent theme in these parables and other messages Jesus shared is the second coming and the need for all to be ready for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. In this section we have the tribulation, We have the parable of the 10 bridesmaids or virgins, and a reminder of the rapid and unexpected arrival of the flood in Noah's day. And the clear message from this part of the Bible is that we need to be ready to give an account of how we have used our lives at that moment that the Lord Jesus returns. Those who have lived their lives selfishly and without God will face punishment. As we read in verse 30, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth when those servants are cast into the outer darkness. Whereas those that have turned away from that way of living and lived a life for the Lord Jesus Christ and have prepared for his coming will be blessed tremendously. And we saw that in two verses, verses 21 and verses 23. The parable of the talents therefore fits perfectly in this section of the gospel, developing these themes as it deals with the two types of servant and how they respond to the master's request, symbolizing the two paths set before us all. This passage shows us how we should respond to God's graciousness and generosity in the light of his potentially imminent return. Given the subject of the surrounding passages, it seems clear to me that the master going away on the journey is the Lord Jesus Christ, with the return of that master representing the day of judgment and the second coming. The three servants represent mankind, the first two being the faithful servants, and the unfaithful servant representing the other aspect of mankind. The talents, sums of money that the master delivered to the servants, are the goods of the master. These are the various gifts God has given to his people. It is not specified what those gifts are exactly, only that they are given in proportion of the servant's ability to use them. And we read that in the first part of verse 15. Tonight we will look at some of the key points we can take away from this passage and seek to apply them to our own lives. And the first point I wanted to make is that the talents are God's. When someone gives you a gift, generally, it's yours to do with what you will. Once you are the owner, it's up to you whether you use it or not. But that is absolutely not the case here. When God gives us a gift, we are to be stewards of that gift. We don't own them. We are simply taking care of them on behalf of God until he returns. Now, this does not diminish the fact that we have been given these gifts. It is a great privilege to be entrusted with the property of God. We are told that the servants have the master's goods delivered to them in verse 14. And when the unfaithful servant is confronted by the master, what does he say? I hid your talent in the ground. There you have what is yours. We read in John 3, verse 27, that a man can receive nothing unless it has been given to him from heaven, which verifies the fact that our gifts are loaned to us by God. But upon the master's return, he came to settle accounts with the servants. And we read that in verse 19. God wants us to give an account of how we have used the things he has entrusted us with when he comes again. And what is the application that we can draw from this? Well, we need reminding that what we have is not our own. We have a responsibility to use those gifts to the blessing of others and the glorification of God. By not using our gifts, we are wasting them. We are showing ingratitude to our Father. And we need to be like those two servants who used their talents, invested them, and added to the riches of God's kingdom as they were used through them. Do you use the gifts that you have been given by God? Or, as is our natural tendency to do you bury them in the ground like that unfaithful servant? And our second point is that none of these gifts were small. It's worth remembering that a talent is it's not just a couple of pennies. A talent was worth several thousand days' wages. We notice in verse 15 that the three servants were not given an equal number of talents. One was given five, another two, and the third just one. So was God unreasonable in giving these different servants different talents? Well, no. We've already seen that these talents were God's talents to do with what he will. We have seen that the talents were also given in proportion to the abilities of the servants. The fact that he gave the unfaithful servant, whose ability he knew, anything at all, is testament to God's mercy. Furthermore, God, knowing that his servant was not as able as the first two, who knew he wasn't able to manage those two or those five talents, still granted him responsibility for one. And as we are all blessed according to our abilities, we are expected to use our gifts according to our abilities. No one received nothing. And yet, so from no one is nothing expected. What this parable is highlighting is that God blesses us all with no small amount of gifts. Even unbelievers are mercifully blessed by God with the common graces. As Matthew chapter 5 and verse 45 puts it, he makes the sun rise on the evil and on the good. So many of God's blessings we take for granted and rarely take note of. And yet every new day we are given is granted to us by a merciful Father. How much more reason do we as Christians have to be thankful to him? All of us have received the gospel and the right to call God our Father. What's the application for us? Do you realize what you have in Christ? Do I realize what I have in Christ? In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, which he made abound towards us, as we read in Ephesians chapter 1 and verses 7 and 8. Yet the greatest gift that we have received, the Lord Jesus Christ himself, and the message of the gospel that delivered it to us, how often do we bury that in the ground, as the unfaithful servant did? How many times do we not take the opportunity to share God's word with those in need of it? It's a challenge to us all to use that great gift. Remembering all that we have been given will help us to keep in mind that we have no grounds for jealousy when we see someone with a greater gift than us. To respond to that notion, we see in Matthew 20 and chapter 15 in the parable of the landowner, where God, the character who symbolizes God there, says, "Is it not lawful to do what I wish with my own things?" The fact that we are given anything is God's merciful deliverance to us. And also, as we shall see later on, the more somebody has, the more is expected of them. Finally, we learn that none of us can say that God does not expect anything from us because we are not able enough. Moses tried to get out of the role given to him by God by claiming that he was not gifted enough. But God's response in Exodus chapter 4 and verses 10 and 11 was this: "Who has made man's mouth? Or who makes the mute, the deaf, the seeing, or the blind? Have not I, the Lord?" The gifts God has given you is a good indicator of how you should serve him. What are your gifts? Do you know what they are? We should seek to find out what they are and use them. We need to challenge ourselves to use our gifts in God's service as the faithful servants had done. How often we fall into the same evasive tactics used by the unfaithful servant. False modesty, downplaying God's generosity, and laziness are roadblocks to Christian service, and let us all strive to avoid them. And then my third point that we can receive from this text is the reward the servants received. If we read verses 21 and 23, we'll spot something very quickly. "Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord." That was what the servant with five talents had said to him by the master. And what about the one with two? His Lord said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord." What we notice is, it's exactly the same. The reward they received was not related to either the amount they started with or the amount they finished with. What mattered was what they did with what they had. They were rewarded identically on the basis of what they had achieved with what they had. God, as our Creator, knows our capabilities. Indeed, he defined them. As Jeremiah 1 verse 5 says to us, "Before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you." Verse 15 of our text informs us that the servants were gifted according to their abilities. We can be sure that God will never ask more of us than we are able to perform. And just as the master knew that the second servant could only manage 2 and not 5 talents, so God doesn't ask every one of us to become pastors, to become missionaries in foreign lands. God asks only what we are able to give. You will be rewarded in line with your faithfulness, not your ability, or how your service compares to others. Don't compare yourself with other believers and see how much more gifted they are than you. That doesn't matter. Instead, try and replicate the faithfulness of other believers in your own life. We therefore have no cause for concern when we see other people who are more gifted than us. Those of you who are familiar with the film Spider-Man will know the quote, "With great power comes great responsibility." And it's a quote I've always been quite fond of because it's echoed in the Bible in several places. If we turn to Luke chapter 12 and verse 48, it says, "Everyone to whom much is given, much will be required of him." And if we turn to James chapter 3 and verse 1, we are advised, "Let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we will receive a stricter judgment." Neither should we devalue our gifts, because in so doing we are undermining the graciousness of God. Whether we are a 1, 2, or 5 talent servant, we have all been. We are all to treasure our gifts and to treasure one another's gifts. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 42 tells us that whoever gives one of these only a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple, assuredly, I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward. We can also look at the parable of the widow's 2 mites or coins in Luke 21. Whilst these 2 coins were not much at all when compared to the other coins that people were putting in the temple's donation pot, they were the most treasured by God because of the faithful and sacrificial giving of the widow. We can also be greatly comforted by the fact that our reward as believers is disproportionately generous. As the servant was told in verse 21 and the other in verse 23, "You were faithful over a few things. I will make you a ruler over many things." So we will be rewarded as believers with an eternity in heaven. Now, some may say that this passage is advocating salvation by works, by suggesting that the good servants were rewarded for their faithfulness by going to heaven. However, we must remember that by nature, we are all the unfaithful servant, not the faithful servant. The very fact that we have become faithful is testament to God's grace. If we turn to Ephesians chapter 2 and verses 8 and 9, we read, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and not that of works. It is the gift of God, lest anyone should boast." Our works flow out of the change of heart God has enacted within us. The question for us as believers is this: are our works consistent with our position as God's faithful servants? It's a challenge we must ask ourselves every day. Whilst the unfaithful servant was punished in a way we mercifully never will be, we must be careful not to imitate him at any point in our Christian lives. The old ways within us must be kept under control. And the same mercy of God that causes him to not expect more of us than we can deliver applies here too. We will never be tempted beyond that which we are able to resist. And we read that in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. And what about the unfaithful servant's reward? He feared losing the master's money, as he ultimately did not have faith in him. And that is true of unbelievers. They don't have the faith in God, and that is why they do not serve him. They have no desire to serve God. They don't accept that they're his servants, and yet that does not change the reality that they are his servants. This servant seemed to act as though he had no responsibility to God at all. He's called wicked and lazy, if we turn to chapter 20, verse 26. And his reward was terrible. It is clear to me that his fate speaks of hell. He was cast into the outer darkness, and there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And of course, this servant is a picture of the unbeliever. Whilst having been blessed by God, as all unbelievers are, he refused to serve him and defies his master. And yet how many people across the ages have been just like that? Were we not like that once? How thankful we can be to God that he has changed our hearts. And what is the application to us? Well, as a church, we are all to play our part in the body of Christ. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 16, we read, "The whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working in which every part does its share, causes the growth of the body." And we see that when we read that the 5 talents were doubled to 10 and the 2 were doubled to 4. By using our gifts, we are helping by God's grace to advance his kingdom and to grow the riches that he has invested in this world. As an application for us then, we need to remember within the church that we all have our part to play. Some may do less, some may do more, but we all must do something. Whether that be in a practical way, whether that be in a spiritual way, whether that be in prayer, whatever those things are, we have a part to play in this body. We have a pastor on the way. What a great gift that is. But let us not fall into the trap of thinking that a pastor is to come and do everything. What is your function? That's what we should be thinking first of all. What is your function in the church? And how will you work with other people to God's glory? So I'm sure that you will agree that this passage teaches us much about our Christian lives. It teaches us that the gifts we have belong to God and we must use them as such. It teaches us that we are all gifted greatly and we must not underestimate God's generosity by downplaying what he has given us. And we learn that we are rewarded for being faithful with what we have. So let us go back to living our lives with a deeper awareness of God and his faithfulness to us. Let us respond to his generosity with love and with obedience and share what we have been given for his glory. And let us remember what future lies ahead of us if we are faithful believers, which I trust that we are. So let's commit our time to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your word. We thank you that it speaks into our hearts and into our lives. We thank you, Lord, that we can see that you know us far better than we know ourselves. And as we read and meditate upon this word, let it affect us. Let it be used to change us for the better. Lord, we pray that you would use us to work in this world, to glorify your name, and to show the world what a gracious and loving Saviour you are. Help us as we go into our lives, Lord, to share that message with all that we see. Lord, help us not to hide our talents in the ground, whatever those talents may be, but help us to use them for your own glory. And we pray this for your own name's sake. Amen.